We'll be in chapter number 4 tonight of 1 John. Chapter 4 of 1 John. And I'm going to deal with the first 13 verses tonight. Chapter number 4. I think I'll read all of these. 1 John chapter 4. And we'll begin in verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What a tremendous verse. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so love us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you this evening. We have this blessed privilege to hold this, your wondrous word, in our hands. Lord, I don't believe tonight we understand the blessed privilege it is ours to have a Bible that is even our very own. Lord, we've heard the stories of literally thousands of Christians around the world who even a church feels fortunate to have one copy of the Word of God. Lord, so we thank you for that privilege here in this nation. But Lord, more than in our hands, how we need it in our hearts. I pray tonight you might bless. I pray that you'll work. Give us wisdom from your Word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. One of the greatest truths that we find revealed to man is that the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is in the lives of believers. He comes into our lives and he makes himself very real. This concept was very new with the disciples and contrary to the world. In Old Testament times, there was only a few men that we would find the Holy Spirit came upon. But we find in our day that when you and I get saved, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within us. In John chapter 4, verse 16, he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that ye may abide with you," or "that he may abide with you forever." And he tells us who that comforter is, even the Spirit of Truth, that's capitalized Spirit, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. When you and I get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell within us, and we know that he is there. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. To the world, we cannot explain that. To each other, we just say, "Yeah, I understand." And it's a wonderful, wonderful privilege. The change that takes place within a new believer is so radical that the Bible describes it as the new birth. In fact, we are born anew into a new family. It tells us in John 1:12, he says that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You and I have the privilege of being born again into a new family, not the family of Satan. He is our father in the flesh, basically. But we are born into the family of God when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. When Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus, he told him that he couldn't even see the kingdom of God without a new birth. He was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews, and yet he is told there must be a change within him to even see the spiritual. If there's something that you and I need in our modern age, it is the realization, the understanding that you and I, if we are born again and seeing the kingdom of God, there's not any mingling then with the world. We're separated from that. We've been changed. We've been brought away from it. Now, that does not mean we don't witness to the world, but it does mean that they're not in our fellowship circles, so to speak. And too often we believe that we can raise them out of that by doing so, but generally it takes us downward instead. And we need to understand that. On one occasion, the Lord Jesus received some fleshly advice from his disciples. And when he did that, he really revealed to them something that is to them astounding. To us, it is very understandable. And that is that there were two different kinds of spirits. There's evil, and there was that which is evil, or that which is holy. There was that which is the Spirit of God, and that which is the spirit of the Antichrist. And the Lord, he said to them, "My time has not come, but your time is already. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of and the works thereof are evil." And he said, what I am and what they are is two different things. The Apostle Paul, when he looked at this truth, he said that he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even as it is now. There's a difference between the spirit, or the spirit world, if you please. There's a great gulf that is fixed between the believer and that which is the man of the world. We see that exemplified in Luke chapter 13 with Lazarus and the rich man, as the Lazarus sat in the bosom of Abraham and the rich man was in hell. When a man really gets saved, there's such a change that God likens it as being born of darkness and confinement within a womb to the freedom of enlightenment and movement in the world. Now, we've had in our church in the last year babies that have been born. We stop and think about those little babes as they are within the womb of the mother. It's dark. And they're confined. There's not a great amount of movement. If somehow you were able to communicate with that little baby and say, boy, the world out here, you can see wondrous things and marvelous things and this and that and the other, they would not understand it because they're in a different world. But when the birth comes, it changes for them. And now they come into a world and they begin to see things, they begin to hear things. I mean, all their senses begin to be enlivened as never before. And what a wonderful experience it becomes for them. I believe the Bible talks about that for you and I as a Christian. And he tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." But when you and I get saved, why, we have spiritual enlightenment and understanding. There's a radical difference between the child of God and the person of the world. And what it is, basically, it's the Spirit of God who dwells within us. If you're saved tonight, you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. That does not mean that He is there in His fullness, but He does indwell you. And so we find, as we come to chapter number 4, that John speaks of a world that has two different kinds of spirits. And if we notice in verse number 1, he says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." Why? Because there's two kinds. "But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world." What do we learn from this? We learn that there are spirits, there are people, if you please, that have confessions, but they're not true, let's use this word, possessions. They can confess that they are spiritual. They can confess that they have that they are Christian, but we know from the Scripture that be not the case. In fact, the Lord tells us to try the spirits. It's interesting that the one test that proves all, can we just use false doctrine or false or cults and those things wrong, is in the area of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. They all have it wrong. Notice verse number 2. He says, "Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is what? Come in the flesh," that's His incarnation, "is of God." When you begin to study the cults, when you begin to study false religions, they have it wrong in this manner. And they cannot get it right. The Christian confesses to the purpose of the incarnation. And he understands that. And notice what it says in verse number 3, "And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is Christ, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is not of God, is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye heard it should come, even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children." Why are you of God? Because you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. The Christian's realness, if you please, is that he has the power of the Spirit of God over the sinfulness of flesh. Verse 4. What's he say? "Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Okay? You tonight, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you. What, know ye not that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? You are one who houses the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is able to what? Do the will of God. As we allow that in our lives, that greatness, that which is greater than he that's in the world, that which is greater than our flesh, if you please, that which is our old way of life, you and I have a change that is very, very obvious. And it comes as a result that we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. And by the way, that Spirit of God dwelling within us helps us to understand truth. It helps us understand and decipher that which is falsehood as well. Many times you have, if you've been saved very long, you have heard things and you thought, that just isn't right. You might not be able to pick up the Bible and find a verse on it. You might come to me and say, "I don't know either." And yet you know inside. Why is that? The Spirit of God. And helps us to understand those things. So we find that these spirits, there's a great difference between them. One of the ways is in their confessions. One is confessing the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. They're confessing Him as one who came to this world. He was born of the Virgin. He lived a life here in the world. He was a man, but He was God. The others do not confess that. Notice verse number 5. We find, I believe, another difference that is expressed here, and it's in our conversations. Notice what verse 5 says, "They are of the world, therefore they speak they of the world, and the world," what? "Heareth them." We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. "Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So we have their confessions. There's a difference in there, but there's also a difference in their conversations. Isn't that interesting? The natural man, what does he talk about? He talks about the things of the world. They are of great interest to him. We could list so many things. Two of them that really come to my mind. Sports and entertainment. The world is gung-ho on sports. It is so gung-ho on it that we pay our athletes millions of dollars. You ever thought about it? Watch a basketball game and you watch those 10 guys run up and down the court and you're looking at about $20 million. Minimum. I mean, it's just crazy. And yet you and I, we struggle in our positions and our jobs, and then go to basketball and football games and pay $100 to go. You know, I mean, that's the world. But they speak of those things. I mean, the entertainment business. All of these things. They speak of the world. The Bible says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. When a Christian, when a person knows the Lord, they have the Spirit of God dwelling within. The Spirit of God dwelling within is going to change our language. It's going to change what we talk about. Now, if you're here tonight and you just keep talking about the same old things you've always talked about, I would ask myself, is the Spirit of God really in my life? Because spiritual things now become very important to you. Isn't that true? I don't know about you. I got saved. I started wanting to go to church. I had no desire to. I went. But I didn't go for the right reasons when I did go. But I got saved and I wanted to go. I had the Bible. I had the Word of God. I had my very first Bible. I had when I was about 7 years of age. And I guarantee you, I never wore it out. Never wore it out. I didn't even wear it out putting it on the dashboard of the car and having it fall on the floorboard when Dad would speed down the highway. Well, he didn't do that very often. But it never wore out. It was a lack of use. But after I got saved, this Bible began to be very real to me. And wanted to understand it and to read it and to see the truths from it. What a wonderful book we have. Amen. A Christian who is walking with God cannot help but talk about Him. I mean, he's consumed with the Lord. It's in his being. It's in his thinking. It's in his hearing. I mean, he speaks of it. It's there. It's natural. Please forgive me on this when I've had people say to me, "Boy, would you teach a class on soul winning?" And I can teach you some of the things that, and the verses and different things of that nature. Some of the things that I have done in talking to people about the Lord. You know, how do you talk to somebody when you've never met them before? And go to a door and nobody, you've never even seen those people before and you knock on their door. I've even preached on the street. I can't say I was really excited. I was scared to death. But it's, you know, those things are... I can teach that, but listen, I think the greatest thing in this matter of witnessing for the Lord is when a person really gets excited about Him, you can't keep him from talking about Him. I mean, seriously, stop and think about it. Crystal here, she's 5 years older, she's gone, how old are you? You're 16, you're now 21 years of age, you've gone off to Bible school, and you have met this guy. And you come home for Christmas break. And all the girls around here, "How are you doing, Crystal? It's so good to see you." And they've been off to all these different places, you know. And how old were they? I say you were 21. One of them's got a baby on their hip like Ashley over there. And, you know, and you walk in. You've found Mr. Wright. I mean, he is what you call hunk. It's a word I heard somewhere. And... Sean's sitting there going, "This ain't going to happen." And, he bought a shotgun last week. And no. Anyways, you would think it really strange. She came back to church and she was back for 4 or 5 weeks. It's a winter break and she's home and she's probably a senior at this spot in Bible school. And she never says anything about this guy. What would you think? Allison, what would you think? Shouldn't say anything about him. I don't know. Oh, yeah, you know. Lindsay, what would you say? Shouldn't talk about him? You don't even know anything, but later, I mean, you find out that, man, this guy, she's madly in love with. You think, really? My experience has been that girls like that can't keep their mouths shut. Matter of fact, you wish you kind of became deaf because you get tired of hearing about it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that, by the way, that's what the world ought to get with us. And really, the clue that we ought to understand here is in the matter of witnessing. Get close to Jesus. You can't help but talk about Him. It's just natural. It just comes. Okay? And, I mean, He's talking here. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. What's happening? People are hearing them. They're talking about Him. I have a question for you tonight. What do you talk about? What do you talk about? I guarantee you, we can discover, if we really stop and think about it, we can discover for ourselves, we can discover for others, if there is a degree of spirituality or not by what we hear. What is our conversation concerning? And lastly, as we look here in the latter verses, there are differences that are expressed here in this chapter between that which is of the Spirit of God and that which is of the spirit of the Antichrist. And the last one that I would deal with and look at is the matter of compassion. He talks about in verse number 7, let us love one another for love is of God. There's three L words that describe God, the Lord here in 1 John. One is God is life. One is God is light. And the other is God is love. He is love. And when you and I are walking with God, there is love that comes from within. When we're walking in the flesh, it's not too lovely. It's desire for self. But when we're walking in the Spirit, it's different because God's Spirit of love emanates from the heart of the child of God. Notice verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us because He hath given us of His Spirit. What is His Spirit as described in these few verses? He's the Spirit of love. The Spirit of love. And it's His love then that comes through you. And I. Verse 11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. How are people going to see God? By the love that is in us. Interesting thought. Any thoughts and any words that you and I have of hatreds that divide rather than unify are strictly of the flesh. And how we need to understand they're divisive, but love is what? That which unifies and draws together. What is that which shows a difference between the spiritual world, that of the Antichrist and that of the Christ? There is, as we find in their confessions. They believe in a Christ who came in the flesh, who dwelt upon this earth. He lived and died that you and I might have eternal life. We believe those things very, very sincerely. That is our confession. That's what He did for us. We may not understand all the little details that we've even talked about tonight, but we know what it says and we believe Him in those areas. We find that their conversations, the things that they talk about, they are different. And our loves is for the things of God and the people of God. And by the way, it even excites a love not of the world, but for the people in the world. Because God said, for God so loved the world. He's referring to the people. And when you and I have that kind, when you and I have His love within us, we begin to have that love for others as well. Here's something I prayed for. There's something I've heard others pray for on different occasions. And we've asked God to give us a love for the sinner. And no doubt If I just say that tonight, you say, boy, I just wish I loved the sinner more. When you and I allow the love of God to dwell in us more richly, that will be there. And there's the key. To try to booster it up ourselves, it's not going to happen. That's doing it by the means of the flesh. You and I tonight, we live in a very spiritual world. And we have to try the spirits, whether they are of God. We understand that one of those trials is a realization of where you are doctrinally. What do you believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? Study Jehovah's Witness, which is one of the main cults in our nation. You find out their belief about Jesus is not what we believe. They say you and I believe in three gods. Study what the Bible, or not the Bible, but what the Mormons believe about Jesus. You'll find they have a different Jesus than we do. I personally believe that Roman Catholicism has a different Jesus than I do. And we have tonight one that became that you and I might have eternal life. Amen? And then we find the conversations are different. The Spirit of God lives within. We're going to talk about different things. Years ago, I knew a family that I wouldn't have described them as spiritual, but they hadn't been saved too long. And maybe 2, 3, 4 years, I don't remember. And they'd not grown a great deal in the Lord. But I was overtaken one day because I heard that they had some friends who had seen their life and wanted to go to church with them. There'd been a change. Was it what it ought to be? Oh no. But are we? But there was different. Their conversation was different. Things they talked about wasn't the same as it had been previously. They still talk about the things of the world. Yeah, there was a lot of fleshly appetite still within them. But there was some changes, and those changes were ever occurring. There's a difference between those who have the Spirit of God and those who don't in their conversations. And then in the compassions, our love. There's a love for God's people. I always wonder about the individual who professes to get saved and doesn't want anything to do with God's people. That concerns me. Because when you got saved and I got saved, I think it was this way with you, you now had a love for the brethren. Because the Spirit of God lived within you. It may not be what it ought to be, but it is there. It is there. It may not be what it ought to be right now, but it is there. It is there.